Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clown with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Brian Haar, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, that just makes me so happy. Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 336 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And all four of us just did. I just like... like, Brian is the reason there is a Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. So it's just, it's wonderful that he threw the fist up there also. Ugh. So we had another week of football, if we can call it that. And I've used this line like three times already, but I did not have Patrick Mahomes taking out the knees of his best wide receiver on my NFL bingo card for this week.
Yeah. Not
wasn't
good.
Wasn't ready for that. Absolutely wasn't ready for that. But like... what is football this year?
It's a mess.
It's a mess. It is so weird. Like, I know I feel like we say this every year. Like, no, this year is so much worse than it is in the past. But this year is so much worse than it's been in the past.
It does seem worse than other years. Like, between the injuries and just bad offensive play, too, just in general, Brian said it's a mess.
Dallas Goedert's the tight end one right now. Brock Bowers is still thankfully up there, but the last two games haven't been very good. But we'll okay. No, we don't need to do that all that now. I'm sure we'll get into most of that as we go. But you know, we don't need to do the intro because, well, if you've been listening for a long time, you know Brian Haar as the just co-host with the most host. That didn't really work. Yeah, Brian was the co-host to start this show. And I love telling the story of how that happened because the original plan for Trade Addicts was actually I was going to host and then every week have a different person from the Trade Addicts leagues as my co-host. That lasted 1 week. And then all of a sudden, no one wanted to come on. And then Brian's like, oh, man. Can I guest on this week? That sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm like, hey, you want to guest every single week? And literally never having talked to, like, I was just crossing my fingers. English was his first language, you know, kind of thing. Like, never talked to Brian before. I'm like, you want to just co-host this with me? And I think it worked out swimmingly.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It was a heck of a lot of fun. And we had a several year run there. And then, And then life just kind of got busy and things changed and on my end, just in terms of like my availability. And luckily, though, you know, part of the community that Russ, you kind of built, you know, I mean, obviously the fantasy community is greater than just Trade Addicts. But like, you know, the Trade Addicts community has grown into its own kind of thing, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously Rocky has been around since way back at the beginning as well, or pretty shortly after we kind of started, definitely as a listener, and then started coming on the show and whatnot. And when I had to step out, you know, I don't think you could have found a better a guy to step in there. And Rock, you've done a tremendous job carrying the show forward. And it's cool to watch you guys and listen to you guys and see where you've taken the show since. So Obviously a pleasure to be a part of the show for a long, long time. Still honored to be able to come on regularly, or at least semi-regularly. You know, but hats off to both of you for, obviously, Russ, for continuing doing your thing, and Rock, for all that you've added to the show, you know, since you came on board. You guys do a great job. It's a fantastic show.
I just want to say I really appreciate that, Brian. I remember when I first came on, I felt I had ridiculously huge shoes to fill. And I still don't know that I've ever done it. And but I've enjoyed being here every week. I love having, that's why we need to have you back every so often. I loved hearing you. I'm sad we don't get to hear you anywhere anymore other than when we ask you to come on here. So just thanks to you for that. And thanks for the praise that you gave me there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I mean that wholeheartedly. So good stuff.
And I don't know if you people listening now have been listening long enough to remember when Brian was around, but whenever we had a segment when Brian was around, there was a certain way we would lead in, and we're about to head into the news. So Brian, why don't you bring us in?
Yeah, sure. So here's the news.
I feel like a fourth wheel in this like love fest going on here.
Oh, Frank, but, you're still here. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, we can get into the news. So there's a lot of junk, but kind of two headliners. So we'll take them one at a time. Rashee Rice, as Russ mentioned, kind of got friendly fired. They fear it's a torn ACL. They said more tests need to be done, and no answers are expected until next week. I have seen every tweet imaginable today that he's fine, that he's not torn his ACL, that he's torn every part of his knee, that he's like, no one knows anything. So we'll get to the rentals in a second. I know I put some rentals on there, so we'll get to the rentals in a second. So what are you doing with Rice? Because let's assume torn ACL, he's out for this year, and there's a suspension looming. Brian, what are you doing with Rice now?
Yeah, so just full disclosure, I have zero shares or zero teams that have Rice on them. So
are you buying?
Possibly. I mean, certainly he's looked over the last several games of last season and into this season, he's been pretty darn good, right? And anybody that's linked up with that guy at quarterback, right? That he goes to on a regular basis is going to be a guy that you have interest in, right? Mm-hmm. I think this is an opportunity to potentially buy him kind of, you know, lower than you would, especially if he ends up being out an extended period of time, which it looks like that's going to be the case, even if the ACL isn't torn. I am a risk averse person. So to me, you know, part of the reason that I don't have Rice on any of my teams is some of the off the field stuff. You know, everything that happened with the car and the speeding and the wreck and all that stuff. So, I'm probably a little more tepid as far as buying him at this point, or adding him to my rosters at this point. But for someone who has a higher tolerance in terms of risk, I think it's a good move to kind of see, right? I mean, talk to the managers that have him in your leagues, and if you can get him a little bit cheaper than what he would have been previously, go for it. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I'm going to go next because I'm in the middle of Brian and Rocky when it comes to risk aversion, because Brian's risk averse. Rocky is not. I am pretty risk averse. So I'm going to go next. I also actually own zero shares, weirdly enough. I was actually trying to get once it came out that it was pretty obvious he wasn't getting suspended at the beginning of this year. I had feelers out, but at that point it was already a little too late. And then once the season started, it became very too late. And I'm at the point now where if I can get him for first and a second, like if someone's willing to give him up for like reasonable price, like given, like, first
what
of all,
first 25.
Yeah.
Really?
You're not getting a 25 first for what he's been doing?
No.
Really? Okay. See, here's the thing. When was the last time someone's swelling was so bad they couldn't get pictures. Like, I literally don't remember this happening in all of my football watching, that they had to wait a week for the swelling to go down. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, or if it means anything at all.
I was trying to, I was trying to look back last year on the Chubb stuff when, like, he ripped his knee six different ways and they knew right away. So this is weird. Like, this, I thought this, Chubb might have gone through this. This wasn't what happened last year.
I mean, Chubb, Dobbins, Javonte, you know, the guys that, like, super tore their knees up. Like, I legitimately don't remember anyone having so bad swelling. They're like, no, we're going to have to wait a week. Part of me is hoping that his knee, like, had safety bags or whatever they're called in the cars.
Airbags.
Airbags. Like, and his knee just went and protected everything. But I have no idea. But, you know, let's assume that he's tore his ACL. He's a wide receiver. He'd probably be back. It's week four. He'd probably be back at the start of the season. Not full force back, but he'll be playing. He'd be playing by the start of the season. Let him get suspended for four games.
Yeah,
good.
Right.
Let him heal more. You know, and with the way he's scoring, the way he was playing, he's easily worth more than a first. You know, and like, the real risk comes into, do you think he's going to keep being stupid off the field? And if you do, or if you're really worried, I understand not wanting to pay a first for that. But I think he's shown enough on the field that you have to at this point. No one should be letting go for less than a first, even with the injury.
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably wouldn't pay more than a late first for a player you're not going to get for a year. It's kind of a weird scenario, too, because if you're buying Rashee Rice, you're probably not competing.
Yeah, but think about it. If you're competing next year, you have like three or four firsts on your team. One of them happens to be mid to late. How great of a move is it to send
firsts, yeah. And I mean, the play might be, if you're on like some of my teams where you have guys that aren't, if you're partway into a rebuild, but like my TAA team has guys on it that shouldn't still be there because my team sucks, but they're scoring points. And that kind of would be more the play. I would try and see if I could move a player on a team where I'm rebuilding and I don't need those points to, if you have a guy like that. Like I said, like, I have a few teams like that where I still have straggling guys that I know I need to sell off in season anyway and try and get them cheap. So, I mean, I don't know if you can get him for a second round level player, though, which is probably all you're going to want to give up, probably all you have on those kind of teams. Like Frank mentions, some real life rental wide receivers in the second part of this year, and like a Deontay Johnson who's looking really good now. But I don't know if you can make that move because Deontay's only worth like a second or two, maybe.
I just pulled up your TAA team. And if someone said, hey, I'll give you Rashee Rice for Stephon Diggs and a second,
I would do that.
And Stephon Diggs isn't worth a first anymore, but that's two strong seconds right there. Like, that feels...
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking might be more the move than just sending a first. If you're totally already have torn it down, you don't have that.
Oh, yeah,
but the answer is... I have multiple teams where I have guys that I still need to get rid of on teams that are not good. And if you have something like that, I think that's the best way to go about it rather than just sending a pick.
Yeah, of course.
Here's a fun question, because they're both going to be probably out in terms of, you know, not out, but not as good this year. Would you rather have Rice or Waddle? I know Russ's answer.
Oh, yeah, definitely Waddle.
Yeah, I'd rather have Waddle as well, and I don't even like him that much.
I really do like Rice, but yeah, with the injury, I'd rather have Waddle.
Rice or Flowers?
Rice.
Okay, so I got to go higher. Rice or Metcalf?
DK. I'm trying to find
the line.
Yeah,
DK for me. Yep. But I'm a sucker for freak athlete wide receivers. So.
Oh, yeah. Rice or the bust himself, Brandon Ayuk?
That one's interesting.
I'm gonna take Rice. Ayuk is scaring me.
I will take Ayuk, banking on his poor play being related to sitting out all of training camp.
I hope it is. I really hope it is, but
I think I go with Brian there because I've been a big Ayuk guy, and I can't, just because of a few bad weeks, like you said, after holding out, I got to go with Ayuk.
Okay, I think I found the line. So we can get into the rentals. So the rentals. So if we went here, who would be a set it and forget it player? It can just be yes or no's. So Deontay obviously is a yes, right? Set it, forget it. He already is now.
He's going to be a wide receiver one. So
yeah, well, right. Yes. Amari Cooper. Is that like the greatest possibility that can happen for the Chiefs? Is Amari Cooper, who costs like nothing? They're not going to do it. I had him on my list. For those who are listening, he's pointing at T. Higgins. I don't think so.
It's not going to happen. I know. But like a one, it would be a 1 year rental and I would still buy that jersey.
Yeah. I was, it's the same with Devontae. Like, they're not going to do that either. Like, he costs too much and the Raiders won't give him in division. DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I would love it. I mean,
that's
will
be rumored on for DeAndre like 5 years now.
Decides not to play anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was just going to say, I think for me, like if I don't know that I fully understood the question before we got into this, it sounds like it's like we're talking about like if somebody goes to Casey to replace Rice, right? Okay. So for me, when you're talking about these veteran guys that know how to get open, that know how to play savvy football, right? Like maybe the skills have diminished a hair, but you tell me, Hopkins or any of those guys aren't going to be able to like get open for Patrick freaking Mahomes. Like any of those vets that go there for me is plug and play. I don't care what the name is. You can use them interchangeably. If it's a veteran guy who has been successful in the league, you know, been a true legit wide receiver one at some point, maybe an aging guy or whatever. But if they're going to play with Mahomes, I'm confidently plugging and playing that player.
Yeah, that's why I put Keenan on there, by the way, is because Keenan's Mr. Find a patch of grass and sit there. And, like, yep. You know. So
I agree with what Brian said. I was just going to throw in the last – I was going to ask about the last name Frank put on here because he's not, like, former aging wide receiver one. He put Tyler Boyd on there. Does he become a set-it-and-forget-it guy for you?
I don't know, but, like, Tyler Boyd has always been – very solid. So, like, I think he could be. I don't think I do it week one, but he has a decent game week one, then yes. Like, it's the KC offense, and, like, they don't need a down-the-field guy. Like, they need the underneath guy that Tyler Boyd always was anyway. So, while, again, Tyler Boyd is absolutely the bottom of this list, it would not take much for me to make him an every week starter in my lineups.
And the only reason I put Boyd on there was because he was kind of in between a tier. There was, like, you know, Brandon Powell and all those other guys, but like in between Hopkins, Keenan, and then like Brandon Powell was Boyd, and Boyd is kind of a tier of himself. So I guess very last question on this and we can move on, but are you buying Worthy? Are you buying Kelsey? Russ already has all the Kelsey. So
he's he already has all the Worthy.
Yeah, except for like the two that he has that I tried to get. Like I just pulled up TA8 and you have Worthy, and I'm like, well, he's rebuilding. I can't get him.
Are you doing anything with the current Chiefs? No rentals at all. Just assume no rentals.
I have Kelsey on a couple of teams that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I will be getting rid of him very soon.
Yeah.
These are teams that I thought I was going to competing, and I'm 1-3. TA8, exactly. There's no, and Kelsey just came off of a decent game finally, in which case I'm going to try and move him for sure. Yeah. But Worthy, are you guys, it'd be silly to still Worthy right now.
Are you guys worried about Mahomes at all?
Nope.
He's not a fantasy quarterback right now. He's
not a fantasy offense right now. Give it time.
Yeah, I think so. If I'm being truthful, right? The answer's yes right now.
That's what I was going to say.
Because I don't like what I've seen over the last year, right?
Yeah.
Like mid-season last year to I mean, he's a different guy in the playoffs, but we don't get fantasy points in the playoffs, so it's a moot right. point, right? So, you know, I'm a little concerned because, you know, now, Russ, what you said, right, the situation, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. The Chiefs situation sucks. Like, they just don't have playmakers. The playmakers they do have are aging. It's a little bit of a problem. They have injuries everywhere. Rice, the running back, Isaiah Pacheco, you know, those guys, they're banged up, right? Mm-hmm. This is where, for me, the guiding principle of talent over situations change quickly, right? You get Patrick Mahomes, Devontae Adams. I'm not saying he's going there. He's probably not going there. But you get him new Hopkins, right? He gets the running game back a little bit. Maybe Kareem Hunt has a career resurgence. I don't know, right? And now all of a sudden Mahomes starts, like, clicking. And when that dude gets clicking, he's the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game. So, you know, I mean, it's like one of those things. Like, I literally, this is hilarious we're talking about this, because literally today, so I'm Mahomes in, I think, two of the three Trade Addicts leagues that I'm in. And, Rocky, what's the one that we did all the trades in where I got Caleb Williams? Is that two?
TA2, yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking at my TA2 roster, and I literally today at work, I had an hour at work, and I was like, I haven't looked at my dynasty rosters for a couple of days. I've been on vacation, and I'm coming back. I need to look at some stuff. So go in, and I look, and I'm like, oh, man, maybe now's the time. He's 28 years old. He's going to be 29. Kelsey's kind of, you know, I mean, I had all the thoughts, right? And I was looking at options, right? And I'm like, okay, well, what could I get, right? Because he's still in his prime. And I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it, because when that dude's situation changes, he's going to be the Patrick Mahomes that we all know him to be. It's just right now the situation sucks.
I also think if you try to sell him at Patrick Mahomes prices, a lot of people are going to balk at that right now.
And you won't sell him for less.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, the last two things I'll say in the Chiefs. One, the thing that scares me about Mahomes relative to previous years is that they're 4-0. And they're winning while he's not playing like Mahomes.
Doesn't matter. They're always win.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. Number two, Carson Steele is a fullback with an alligator. It's time to move on. We're done with Carson Steele. Because he's fumbled twice. He had two carries. He had one catch. It's time to move on.
Or goal line. I don't remember if it was exactly goal line, but it was definitely red zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
The other headliner, this happened like 2 hours ago, is Devontae Adams has officially requested a trade, which is funny because I had on here about 2 hours ago that he was out with he was week to week with a hating his team. I mean, hamstring injury. And, so obviously this was writing on the wall. So let's,
I'm curious, you didn't connect here. The two. Do you think that was not realistic?
I mean, I just don't. They're not going to do it. He's too expensive too. I don't think the Chiefs can afford him. Yeah. So let's do two questions, because obviously the number one thing that everyone's pointing to is the Jets because of Rodgers. And let's do two questions. One, if it is the Jets, what do we do with Garrett? Because he's going to be obviously the odd one out a little bit here, because he's the only one who doesn't have a relationship with him. And two, if you were to make a dream scenario, Brian, we can start with you again. What is the dream for Devontae Adams?
That's the dream, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I'm a hardcore Steelers fan, and we need a wideout, okay?
Yeah,
from a fantasy perspective, I would absolutely hate that, obviously. No, I mean, look, I've been on the interwebs today, right? And I've been looking at the whole Jets thing, right? I love it. I love it. I hope he ends up in New York. That offense, other than last week, in the
can Garrett Wilson be part of the deal though?
No.
Send him.
No,
he ain't going. Is it bad that I almost said Oakland? What year is it?
He ain't going to the Raiders.
It's always going to be Oakland, by the way.
Yeah, just like the Chargers or the San Diego.
San Diego,
correct? Yeah. Yes.
No, I don't mind the idea of Devontae Adams going to New York to play with the Rodgers again. I really don't. I don't think it hurt. I mean, it I don't think it hurts Garrett Wilson, to be honest. I mean, maybe from a volume perspective, and I get the odd man out thing, but having said that, that dude knows how to get open. And if he's open, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw him the football. Aaron Rodgers does not – I mean, look, I everybody hates Aaron Rodgers, right? Especially
you were about to say he doesn't play favorites, and he definitely does.
He does.
Oh, no, he's Alan Lazard.
But here's yeah. Okay, so he does, but here's the thing. Why is he throwing the ball right now to Alan Lazard?
Chemistry. He said
it's Patrick Surtain.
And because Garrett Wilson's getting a lot of attention, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Devontae Adams comes, you don't give Garrett Wilson the same amount of attention.
Exactly. That's where my brain just went.
Right? So he's now one-on-one with a second corner.
Yep.
And he's going to be running circles around dudes. I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers, yes, he has his guys, right? But he's going to throw it to a wide-open Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson will very quickly become a guy for him if he's wide open all the time. And I think if Adams ends up in New York, I think that opens up that offense a lot. I would actually like to see that happen, and I think that it would be a tremendous move for the Jets in terms of their prospects for actually succeeding in real football.
So you said the second part of that question is, what do we do with Garrett Wilson if Adams goes there? I was just wondering if you could just make that, what do we do with Garrett Wilson?
In general.
Whether or not he goes there. Like, we had talked about prior.
We knew about this last week, that this Surtain game was going to happen. And by the way, on that point, and I heard this, he had the most yards against Surtain this year, and he's played DK, Mike Evans, and someone else that I am. Pickens. He's played those three wide receivers who are all good. So,
well, where I was going though is not just this game. Is that we said coming into the season that if he didn't do it this year, his value was going to tank, and so far he's not really doing it this year.
No, he has the Vikings in London. Row, to use a terrible cliched phrase, the murderer's row of cornerbacks he's faced. Hopefully, the time to get the chemistry with Rodgers and finally not facing the best corners in the league that he'll...
Well, he's got to go to London now. That's on my news, too. His next game's against the Vikings in London.
And their defense isn't, terrible.
No.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going and talk about more stuff that's going to just drive us further into dismay.
Well, what's the dream? Rocky and Russ, what's the dream for Adams? I say Buffalo. Or Baltimore?
Baltimore's not a dream because they just don't pass enough.
I was actually thinking a good quarterback needs a wide receiver too. What about the Cowboys?
Cowboys has been mentioned. I. What about the Chargers?
It's in division.
That's right. It's in division. Never mind. Okay, yeah.
And they don't throw the ball enough.
They would, though.
With Harbaugh.
Dude, Devontae Adams, you would.
You think they would?
He would get all 14 throws.
Next year when they get T. Higgins, they will.
There you go.
I mean, just want that powder blue Higgins jersey. That's all it is. It's my favorite.
I like the Cowboys. That's a good
play. CD and Devontae, who you covering? So
no one. Yeah.
Jake Ferguson. Just covered.
But they can't. The thing about the Cowboys is they can't pay him. So he has to do a restructured deal, right? Because they just signed CD. They just signed Mac. They have to sign Micah Parsons. So they don't have the space, I don't think. I went bleh, but that's because I just hate the Cowboys.
Oh, I hate the Cowboys.
And I know you do.
I'm just thinking fantasy-wise.
Sure, yeah, fantasy-wise, that'd be.
But you're right. In real-life terms, you're right. I hadn't factored that in. They got tons of money they got to shell out. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said Buffalo, because I think he could catch all of Josh Allen's.
I actually like that too. Buffalo,
that would be beautiful. Buffalo would be beautiful.
Yeah. All right. I'll burn through the rest of these because I know we spent a lot of time on the first part. Jonathan Taylor, high ankle sprain. Backups are Trey Sermon and Tyler Goodson. Good luck with that. Christian Watson, high ankle sprain. They said he didn't fracture it, but he still could be on IR. Dontavian Wicks had 15 targets after Watson went out. So. Go get him if you don't have him.
Jordan Love also threw 54 passes.
I know. That's a weird. It was a weird game.
Are you guys Richardson, out? Are you guys still? Are you, sorry to interrupt. I know I do this. I'm the show extender. So, are you guys in still on Christian Watson? Because I am out.
I was out before this year, and I never got back in.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a little more in than both of these guys, and I'm still out. So, yeah.
It's a Jaden Reed show. Let's go.
Yeah. Richardson, he's going to play and everything, it sounds like. But this one felt super weird. It felt like, you know, Flacco came in and did well, but Steichen threw Richardson back out to get hurt again or something like that. If you want to throw on full tinfoil hat, this is a weird move by Steichen to throw him back out there again.
This is
he was already Mike
Shanahan, RG3 level. Starting Flacco.
Yeah.
Flacco's going to be a league winner again, everyone. If he's on your waiver,
that's a weird Downs played great. If it's Flacco,
Pittman had his best game of the season.
All three of them did. So
it's weird when you get a guy that can pass the ball.
Who somehow caught like 60-yard touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers is dealing with issues in both of his legs, which I just thought was a funny headline. But, you know, aren't we all? Tyler Bidet. Okay, this one's not as funny. This one was kind of freaky. He kind of, you know, apparently had like just a full-on episode on the sideline. Like, that's the word that was used for it. He kind of just went down. They put him on a backboard. But, you know, hopefully he's okay. But Javonte had a good game after Bidet left. So if Bidet is out, we're probably going to get our hopes up on Javonte for a couple of weeks until Estime comes back and kills our dreams again.
But I'm still not over the fact that his name is pronounced Bidet. But do we know what happened? Did he have a seizure or something? Because
I've seen it listed as back injury, and I don't know if it was like super spasms or what happened, but like,
because if it was something like a back problem, I feel like they would have kept showing it on TV. Like,
right.
Tua got a concussion and his hands locked and they just kept showing it. Something they should not have kept showing. It was an injury we're used to, so they kept showing it. So the fact that they didn't show what happened to Bidet, I figured it must have been like a seizure or something not football related.
No, and they put him on a board and it was super freaky. So I hope he's okay. Will Levis in his funny face from last night. For those who haven't seen it, go look it up. Brian Callahan said Will Levis is still the starter when he's healthy. I think they're on bye this week. I didn't write down all the byes, but I know the Lions and the Eagles are out, and I don't remember who the other two are.
It's not starting for me.
He's my only TA QB, so the tank's on, fellas. Yeah, Mason Rudolph looked decent last night for whatever it's worth, but
it's still Mason Rudolph. How do you feel about Mason Rudolph, Brian?
Meh. I like him better than Kenny frickin' Pickett, I'll tell you that much.
I liked Pickett too. I gotta stop falling for these QBs. CMC tendonitis in both his Achilles now.
All right. Can I speak on this one?
Please.
Okay. So bilateral Achilles tendonitis, both legs, right? I have this, literally. It blows.
You just made Russ edit.
Yep. I had to. It's like, I had to. Yeah, it sucks, like really bad. Now, I'm not in shape, and I don't have the best care in the world. I'm not.
Right, you're not in as good a shape as Christian McCaffrey is.
No, and I'm not flying to Deutschland.
I was gonna say, have you also been to Germany?
I have not, which is a shame. I'm gonna make that happen. The motherland. I got to go home. Anyway, Achilles tendonitis absolutely sucks. Like it is almost. I mean, it's like crippling. Like I can't imagine running with Achilles tendonitis. And this dude is trying to figure out how to run and cut and do it like time and again, right? So I don't know how long. I think they said November, right? Potentially after the bye week or something like that. If I was him and I had his money, I don't have his money, so I got to go to work. I would not work with Achilles tendonitis. So I hope for the longevity of his career, I hope that he sits as long as he needs to sit to take care of this, because I'm telling you right now, Achilles tendonitis sucks. It is painful as hell. It's frustrating as hell. I mean, I had to buy freaking special shoes and like all this. I feel old. I'm old, old as hell. But yeah, it's absolutely brutal, and it's killing my fantasy teams because I have a lot of CMC. So this one blows.
I asked this last week. I'll do it again. Are we at contending first for Jordan Mason yet?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's
either.
Not producing enough.
He's doing fine.
He's like RB5, isn't he?
Unless something changed. I think last week, I think I looked at this and he was like an RB2.
Oh, that's right. Cause he doesn't catch. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll burn through the rest of the news. Cause I know Russ is going to kill me if this is like a midnight ending show. Russ Wilson, he's six.
RB 6 points per game.
Yeah.
Then what the hell is that?
Does that change your answer at all? Contending first.
No.
Nope.
Okay. Russ Wilson not expected to start week five, even if healthy. Yep, that's good. Jonathan Brooks is in the final stages of his return to play, but his practice window hasn't been opened yet. Browns have opened Nick Chubb's practice window. So for those who don't know what the practice window is, I'll be very quick. 21 days to practice. If you don't activate them onto the active roster by the end of the 21 days, they have to go on IR for the rest of the season. So if they are put on the practice window, that means they expect them back in the next 3 weeks. Not this week. Don't activate Nick Chubb. Jay Glazer said Puka's going to be out another month, which sucks. I know. I think the Rams feel like they're gonna be really careful with these guys now that they're losing. Hockenson target return of October 24th versus the Rams. Drake May is a ways away from being started. That's good news. And like I said a couple times, the buys start this week, and we have our first London game. Everyone set your lineups because there's a whole lot of fantasy players in this one. Vikings and Jets, and that game terrifies me because both defenses are good and it's in London. And with that, enjoy the rest of the show. Goodbye.
It's about time he's gone. Am I right, fellas? Thanks, Frank. Well, you are a guest here, Brian Haar. So we let our guests choose next. What do you want to do? Do you want to do listener questions or trade addicts trades?
Yeah, let's do listener questions first.
What are we going to do?
We're going to do some listener questions. I don't even remember what I used to do for that.
We didn't really do much listener questions back then, so we didn't really do it.
We're all really waiting for the last one.
I gave it a half-ass attempt.
And really the last one we're waiting for, Brian.
Yeah. I got you on that one.
All right, but let's start with Frank's questions. One of the themes I said when we started the season is to not be afraid to be wrong. So who were you wrong about 1 month into the season? Levis aside, I know I was loud wrong on that one. My player is Kyren Williams. He's still the workhorse. Quorum isn't an issue at all. Still worry about Kyren's health, though. Yes, health was always the real worry for Kyren. So what are some guys you were wrong about coming into the season? I mean, I could start by saying Kyle Pitts. Very, very, very wrong. I like the London usage. London is getting, as Cousins is getting better, healthier and better, London's usage is getting nice. He didn't finally win a week without catching a touchdown. He went like 2-3 in a row. He didn't catch a touchdown, which made it look bad, but he still had like 6 for 60 or something along those lines. Like he had a pretty decent game anyway. But yeah, Pitts with zero this week is rough. And I was in on Pitts with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on Pitts. I, as usual, did not look at the questions before the start of the show, so I'm still trying to stall and find
one first because one popped in my head, hoping that you guys would be able to think of something.
I don't know if this one, because I'm just looking at like the scoring of everybody right now so far. But I mean, not that everybody like. I was super strong and that I was disagreeing with the crowd or anything, but Sam Darnold as QB4 never even crossed my mind. And I was sure he was just going to be trash. And even with the weapons he had, and he did, like I've mentioned this before, he did have a hot first month in Carolina a couple years ago. So, I mean, we'll wait and see. But he just looked better than he did then. He's looked way better than he, even then. Some of it was built on. He had like four rushing TDs in that stretch or something, which was booing his fantasy value a lot. I don't feel like that's a great answer to his question, but that's just the first one that popped out of me as I was trying to look at some of these names. I don't know if Brian has anyone and can talk some more while I try and find someone better to say.
Yeah, well, so per usual, I'll like – kind of answer the question, but like also not answer the question. So when I was thinking about this question, I think there's a couple of guys. Here's what I was wrong about. And I'm really pissed about it. I was wrong about the rookies in this context. First of all, I love this rookie class that we just had, right? Like, I think everybody did, right? Like, I mean, this was a really good class, yeah. Right? This was the year. Like, we targeted this year. I know we target every year, but like, this past rookie class was like, everybody was in on it. I'm pissed because my gut and some of the analysis that was out there too. Told me that that Malik Nabers was going to be the dude, right? Not a dude, but the dude. Obviously, when you have a prospect like Marvin Harrison Jr., it's, you know, here's where my risk averse. Sorry, I just like clicked my mic. Here's where my risk averseness bites me in the ass. I wanted to draft Nabers everywhere, and I did draft him in a lot of places. I didn't draft him in enough places. And I'm really, really, really pissed about it. Same thing with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Now, I'm not overly concerned about Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams in the long term is going to be a fantastic quarterback and worthy of being drafted at you know, as the first quarterback in the class potentially. But I'm just mad at myself, right, for like not listening to myself. And listening to that kind of gut feeling. It's a whole lot easier to live making decisions like roster decisions or player decisions or whatever. It's a lot easier to live with guys not working out when you've kind of gone with your gut, right? Yep. And when you don't go with your gut and something happens the way that you thought it was going to, it feels really freaking shitty. So that's I don't even that probably didn't even answer the question. What was I wrong about? I was wrong to not trust myself.
There you go.
Trust. I literally wrote it at the top of my notes for the show. Trust yourself. Trust yourself.
Okay, I filmed a couple while Brian was talking. One,
he's talking for long enough.
One was while he brought up the rookies, and that kind of, and it just happened to be as I was scrolling through the wide receivers, and it hit for me. Brian Thomas was a guy I was not super high on, especially compared to a lot of people. I feel like he's looked great so far. He's very solid fantasy wise, but especially for a rookie, he's like wide receiver 21 points per game.
Yeah.
So that's pretty solid too. And then the other one is the opposite, sort of someone I've been saying for a while that I expected to eventually return some semblance of form, and he never has, going back to quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Obviously, we all know he's a crappy human being, but I were talking about the risk averse thing earlier in the show. I was definitely buying a lot of Deshaun Watson a couple years ago when he wasn't playing. And I kind of excused last year with the injury, and he did have a few good games last year, but it just looks bad. So I don't think we're never getting the prime Deshaun Watson back. I don't even know if we're getting serviceable Deshaun Watson going forward. So that's another one I think I was wrong on.
All right. Question two, along the same lines, who's a player you're worried about? We discussed a few last week, but this can be more relative to expectations versus being scared to start them. For me, the answer is Bijan. He's RB20 in PPR this year, and I just don't think he will ever be the workload. He will have the workload to himself, and the offense is not as good as we thought it would be. He might be more of a low-end RB1 or high-end RB2 than a top-tier stud. If you can get a Bijan-esque return in trade still, I'm not sure I wouldn't take it. Yeah,
Bijan is a little worrisome when we have Raheem Morris talking about how great Tyler Allgeier was playing. Like, that was scary. My answer to this is Mark Andrews. I'm crossing my fingers. This is a weird sentence to say. I'm crossing my fingers. He's still hurt. Like, that's what this is. He's blocking a lot more, which is, you know, you have Derrick Henry, so I get it. But still, Mark Andrews, if he's healthy, should be out there catching the ball, and he's not. So, like, I'm really – and I acquired a decent amount of him in this non-point scoring season, so I'm a little worried for my teams also about that. But Mark Andrews is the first person that easily came to mind on this one.
I'm going to say the guys – I know you guys mentioned Murderer's Row of cornerbacks and all that. I am a little worried. Not that I – again, he's a guy I'd still be starting, but Garrett Wilson. Kind of in the same vein that he talked about Beach. I've loved Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
And I get it, and I know Lazard is not facing – the cornerbacks that Wilson is, but even still, when he's you're getting outscored by Alan Lazard, that's a little after a month. That's a little scary to me. So he'd probably be that guy. So like I said, it's almost in the exact same vein that he's talking about Bijan. It's not that I don't still believe in the player, but it's just making me a little nervous.
You got anybody, Brian?
Yeah, my guy's Jalen Hurts from a fantasy perspective, and. You know,
I mean, and from I think a real life perspective, if well, you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think he was coming off the board as the third or fourth quarterback, you know, in startups. And I think he's QB9, maybe nine yep. or 10
points per right, game. He's nine.
Yeah. Right now. So, it's not that he's not, I mean, he's still performing. I think the thing that's worrisome for me is it's, you know, a lot of the production there is touchdowns via push. So if that offense stalls and doesn't get down there, I mean, and that production goes away, then where's his production going to come from? Because he's not
eventually,
you know,
AJ Brown and Devonta Smith.
I was just going to say, in his
obviously, in his defense, he's lost his top two wide receivers. You know, but this whole thing with he and Sirianni is like, I don't know. It's just there's something
turning the ball over a lot.
He is. What's he have? 13 picks already.
I don't know the exact number, but he's had his share of fumbles and picks so far.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit concerned with Jalen Hurts at this point. I am not concerned about the two running backs, although I don't hate the strategy of moving them, especially if you can get young wide receivers. I moved Breece Hall for Ja'Marr Chase and Trey Addix 6 plus some parts. So I don't mind that strategy, but I'm not overly concerned with either of those running backs, Breece Hall or Bijan.
All right, let's move on. At Tacit Assassin 13, is it time for
the news?
Since it feels a little bit like I found a time machine listening to Russ and Har again, let's go back. What advice would you have for your fresh-faced self heading into your very first fantasy league? I don't really have much for this because always from the very beginning, fantasy football was just about fun for me. And like, I joined my first Dynasty League. I found it on the RotoViz message boards. Like, I just didn't know anyone. I just jumped in a league that I found had an opening. And having no idea what values were, I still just went and started trading. Like, I mean, shocker, right? Like, you know, I guess the thing I would say is when I first started, I guess I held way too strongly to the people I listened to. Like, this guy says this guy's good, so he's good. Let's just go with that. And I didn't trust myself enough. But, like, honestly, I'll say the advice that I came into my first Dynasty League with. It's really just have fun. Don't be afraid to make stupid moves because you want to. You know, maybe I didn't have the confidence that I'd be able to fix my mistakes then like I do now, but I was still willing to make them. You know, I was selling picks before I even understood what picks were really worth because I like trading and people wanted to trade with me. And there were free calculators around back then that I was able to make sure I wasn't getting fleeced. But Yeah, like I think I stick with like my advice for any new person is just don't take things too seriously. Go have fun. You want a player, go get the player. You don't want a player on your team, be willing just to send them out. Do whatever. Just go. Have fun.
Trust yourself.
I would definitely agree with that. And I would just add, yeah, don't be – I know very early on, especially in the – well, I was only in TA3 at the beginning, but I would get nervous about how my trades would be perceived. Like people would think I was getting fleeced or things like that. And especially knowing it was going to be on a podcast in TA3. So and
back then I used to tweet them all out also.
That's true. Right. We did the trade polls. So, but don't worry about that. Like Russ said, me and Russ have made many, 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 many mistakes, but we try and trade our way out of them. Getting more specific. One other thing, like more, positional is, I'm slowly evolving into Russ in terms of running backs. I still value them way more than Russ does, but I would say I got real heavy into Dynasty Twitter and all that and all these millions of Dynasty leagues I'm in probably about 2018. And I'd say back then I was very much more of a running back guy, and I've slowly come to the more conventional wisdom over the years. So I would tell 2018 me to maybe not value running back so high.
Maybe not Todd Gurley this year, guys. Maybe not Todd Gurley this year.
Yeah, I agree, guys. I mean, have fun, trust yourself, and play the game. You know, play in the types of leagues that you like playing in. Play on the platform that you like playing in. I mean, all these Dynasty Twitter arguments that are out there, you know, don't get involved in them. Just do you. Just play in the leagues that you like on the platforms you like, and trust yourself and have fun with it.
Yeah, that's actually a really good one. Is like joining tens of thousands of leagues is fun and everything, but more than what kind of league you're joining, make sure you're joining leagues with people you want to play with. Like I even found myself in a couple of leagues I enjoyed, or leagues I left leagues I won back to back years because I just decided I decided it was enough of being with these people I didn't like. You know, okay, cool. Winning money is nice and all, and it funds the rest of my, but like, I'm not enjoying this, and this is why I do this. So like, being more, and especially back then when I had no children or less children and less responsibility at work, where I was spending more time in these chats and everything, it's, you know, why spend that with people that you're not enjoying spending time with? So I think that would be it. Instead of worrying about, oh, I've never been in a super flex league, let me just join three of them. It's like, oh, I've never been in a super flex league, let me find my friends who are in one and see if I can join. You know, it would have been more about that. It would have been more about the people from the beginning than it was just about the leagues and number of leagues and kinds of leagues in general. Okay, so he asked the same question Frank did about players we were wrong about, so we're going to skip that. But what are we doing with Justin Herbert right now, since running down his leg instead of going for deep touchdowns?
Wanted to get piss missiles in there.
Ever get piss missiles in the conversation. Yes, the absolute answer is, like, everything Brian said about Patrick Mahomes fits here. It is the talent over the situation. Justin Herbert is very, very talented. I legitimately think they will bring in more at wide receiver after the next season. I legitimately would not be sad if T. Higgins ended up there beyond me getting that powder blue jersey, which I would have to, like, I haven't seen anyone make these special frames. Of course, I'm talking about a frame hanging behind me, like you guys can see it in patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, and you can. But, like, they don't make these. I haven't seen anyone make these fancy framed things anymore. I would try and find a way to make a fancy frame for a powder blue T. Higgins jersey, because that's how excited I would be about it. But I'm not giving up on Justin Herbert. I will absolutely find my way to get him on my rebuilding rosters at this point, I think.
Yeah, yes. I agree with that. I'm not. If you have more to say, Brian, I didn't really have much other to say. I agree. I think because I don't generally have higher priced quarterbacks, I think I only have one Herbert share, but I've had no interest in selling it. And I haven't really acquired more, but again, that's just like, maybe I should, because I mean, maybe his price is going down with some people's, you know, starting to worry a little bit. But I pretty much just am in agree with Russ. Anything you want to throw in there, Brian?
No, I mean, I'm big Justin Herbert guy. Love that dude.
Yeah, I used to literally yell at Brian before the 2020 season started. Brian, trade me Justin Herbert. Give me Justin Herbert, Brian. Brian, trade me Justin Herbert.
Now.
And he wouldn't do it. And then Justin Herbert played and he was vindicated in that decision.
Piss missiles.
Frank's in the chat asking Herbert or Goff right now.
If I am a top three team in a league,
Let me change this question, because the answer is clearly if you're competing, you kind of want Goff over Herbert right now. What's the value difference between them? Herbert's still worth more, right?
I think he is.
But like,
I don't think it's a first.
Oh,
I mean, a second?
Yeah, I think I'm with Brian there.
If I'm competing and I have Herbert and someone throws me Goff in a second, I think I'm taking that.
It doesn't always equate to trade value, but I just looked on DLF. QB 13 Herbert, QB 17 Goff. That's about a second, though.
13. How the mighty have fallen. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's right.
But think about that, too, though. 13 with a run-first offense, a decimated offensive line, and zero receiving weapons.
Yeah, that really is – that's keeping respect on his name by him not dropping even lower. Absolutely, like, you're right. That absolutely is. And I do think that'll come back. I think he'll be great. At KP Poker KP, the name I struggled for years. And Kelly's finally back. Speaking of, where has Har been? What's he up to these days? And what's the price tag for King Henry if I'm trying to win the shit? All right, well, it's Brian. What have you been up to these days?
Yeah. So I'm working a lot more. For those that don't know, I'm a mental health counselor, a licensed professional counselor in the state of Pennsylvania. The private practice where I work, we've grown. So there was two of us back when I was doing the podcast. There was a guy that owns the practice and then myself. Our practice has expanded to 21 full-time practitioners in basically a 2.5 to 3 year window. So our practice has kind of exploded. So a lot of my time's at work, a lot of my time's at home with my family. My daughter's school age now.
Is she
she's
26 by now?
Like... I know, right? Her attitude's 26 some days. But no, she's awesome. My daughter's amazing. Yeah. But she keeps us on our toes and she's in a lot of activities now, tennis and basketball. And, she went through cheer for a little while and different things like that. So just busy with life stuff. Life's treating me pretty good. I really can't complain. That's pretty much what I've been up to. I obviously still in a bunch of leagues, still in three of the Trade Addicts leagues and, several other dynasty leagues, as well,
in the Trade Addicts League this week.
What's that?
I just beat Brian in the Trade Addicts.
Yeah. Trade Addicts League actually didn't have a very good week this week. I think I won 1 of 3. So that's not the best.
As long as I beat Brian in the TA2 championship, eventually everything will be, the world will be back to be okay.
Well, you can be assured that if we meet in the championship game again, I will make a trade the day of the final game, Sunday, because I've done that both years and both years that trade.
I will let's off again. Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Well, and then Josh Allen got benched. Thank you, Sean McDermott. He had like 40 points and Russ needed him to have 41 points and he got benched like late in the fourth quarter.
That is not hyperbole. I literally lost by less than a point.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was awesome.
I needed one more drive.
Best day ever. Championship!
So, what's the price tag for King Henry if he's trying to win the ship? A late first? Would you send your compete... If you're competing, you're 3-1, 4-0. Even if you're a 2-2, but you you should win. Are you sending your first for Derrick Henry right now?
I probably would. Yeah. But also with the realization that he's probably dying on my team. But I've become exponentially more comfortable with that over the years. Yeah. Having these aging vets die on my team. I know that's like sacrilege in dynasty football, right?
Football. With the way knowing that, Rocky is the non-ageist of the group, but like how the community has become so ageist, like, I've come to expect that that I'm going to change the wording and say Travis Kelce is going to retire on my roster.
Much better way.
Don't die any of you players. You know, anytime soon.
I'm rusty.
No, that's me. yeah, Derrick Henry is absolutely one of those players that if you are still competing, and let's word this specifically, if you have a trade deadline, you know, and you can't sell him this season, it's going to get harder and harder as time goes on. And then it's going to be like, am I going to sell Derrick Henry for a third? Why am I going to bother doing that? Where he'll still give me a couple of weeks as an RB1, you know, like you're going to get to that point. So, yeah, in a few weeks, I will absolutely be willing to do it. I don't think I'm ready yet to send my first. Is he worth it? He's showing that the answer is yes. But me personally, the way I play, the way this season is treating the world, I don't think I'm ready to send my first for almost anything in a competing team because I'm holding on to that. If I still have it, I'm holding on for dear life until I need it because this year is showing me that I'm going to need it.
I would, and I sort of did before this week, I think. I'm not sure how you parse this out, but I traded – it's a one QB league. Yes, they still exist. But I traded a first and a second for Hurts and Henry. So however you want to parse out that value, I basically feel like I don't know how to value quarterbacks totally in a one QB league. But my guy was my guy that I was starting most of the time was Cousins. And this got cold offered to me and I was just like, yep. And I was 2-1, but I think first in points going into this past week. And I know I had a really good chance in that. I do have a really good chance in that league. So I was like, yeah, I think to expect that to be 10, 11, 12.
Even in a 1-2 league, I still think you're paying a first for Hurts.
That's what I think. So then I got Henry even cheaper. But however you want to parse it, I would have paid the first for just Henry if that's what he had offered.
Let me put it this way. I would absolutely pay 2 seconds.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go up to Trade Addicts Trades, Brian.
Trade Addicts Trades!
There we go.
Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 0.75 extra points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage except for TA1, and we don't got any of those trades anyway. But we do have... I did an outhouse challenge for Trade Addicts 1, 8, and 10, and no trades went through for TA1. We have TA8 and TA10. And I need to say, 2 trades went through. I got a total of 16 offers. The average, not including the 2 that went through, the average side that I was being offered in polls, 28.7%.
That's how I way overpaid, according to Twitter.
That's how was the opposite bad the offers that came to me were. Like, people still don't grasp that you're supposed to send an offer that Twitter will choose the side you're sending me. Still just doesn't work. Okay, but let's go. Trade Addicts 8. This is one of those trades that came in through a Trade Addicts note, an outhouse challenge, that's the word. And I saw this offer came in, and my heart sank.
Trade Addicts Trade. Sorry, guys.
No, I need it. I need that build back up because Brian Thomas Jr. for Tank Dell, by the way, and a second.
I like his name.
It's a very good name. Brian Thomas Jr. for Tank Dell and a second. And I knew that I was losing Brian Thomas Jr. in this one. And I did. Tank Dell and the second won 56.8 to 43.2. How do you guys feel about BTJ for Tank Dell in a second, Brian?
I love both of these guys a lot. BTJ is amazing. He's having a great season here so far as a rook. I'll say this, though. I wouldn't be real sad, Russ. Like, Tank Dell is legit. That dude, before he got hurt last year, he was every bit as exciting and For me, I mean, he was the guy I was targeting. I wasn't targeting Nico. I was targeting Tank Dell. That guy was on a superstar trajectory.
You should have been targeting Nico.
He obviously as well. But I think Tank Dell, look, what I don't understand is why Houston went out and traded for Stephon Diggs. Because I think Tank Dell, and I understand, like, obviously, like, where he plays in the three, you know, wide receiver sets and different things like that. But Tank Dell, to me, is a legit talent. I would think that he and BTJ are probably really, really, really close. So I don't mind getting the second here with Dell for BTJ, even though I really like Brian Thomas Jr., traded up for him in two different rookie drafts, traded kind of back into the first round to get him. And, you know, but I don't mind. This one wouldn't have hurt me quite as bad as it seems to have hurt you, because I really like Tank Dell.
Value-wise, it's fine, and I also like Tank Dell. It's really just losing the BTJ share that hurt.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I agree pretty much with everything Brian just said, especially the part where Dell and Brian Thomas Jr. are super close. In terms of value, in terms of, I think, what points you're going to get out of them, maybe – even this year, maybe, but especially, I don't think Diggs is going to be there, you know, beyond this year, most likely. So, your Tank Dell is going to produce. I would assume they're not going to bring in another Stephon Diggs type next year, and it'll be the Dell and Nico show. I guess the Diggs thing was mainly just about, you know, they were coming up last year. Let's give Stroud even a little more support. And but I think that they're not going to need to get that kind of level guy to come in after this year. So I feel like you're getting points. You're going to get the same kind of production, and you're getting the second. I think the results of this poll were actually super accurate, slightly over 50%, because you're getting the second on the other side.
Yeah, and again, it's purely because of the player involved that I was sad that I lost. But like, I did see this, and I'm like, this is going through. This is going, and it did. So let's move on to let's go jump over to TA10, because let's do the other, because there's four trades and they both came with challenges. TA10 was the other outhouse challenge, and this guy over here, another one I saw come through, and I'm like, this is going to go through. I know it. T. Higgins for Calvin Ridley and a 26 first Rocky.
I disagree with the results of this poll, by the way.
Yes, this is too much. The poll came through with 72.1% voting for Ridley in a first.
That's a 26 nuts. First.
Yes, 26 first. 72.1 to 27.9. That's nuts. And especially,
where do you guys think Ridley is in points per game?
What?
Where do you guys think Ridley is in points per game?
38.
57.
Yeah, ooh. Like he's doing absolutely nothing. He had one game where he scored more than 6 points. It happened to be like 26 points, but like, he's not doing anything right now. And
T's been hurt, and he's had a couple okay games since he come back. But yeah, to me, this is... To me, I did not think this was going to necessarily win. I was shocked to see it was 72 to 28. Yes. I thought it'd be close, but to me, T's easily. To me, that's basically the first, and not much. Like, Ridley's a 30-year-old on an off bad offense with a bad quarterback. Like, why Ridley adds
all right, no all right. value? Calm to down, Rocky. Calm down. I mean,
but yeah, it was fun to just kind of to get T. Higgins off you. That was the main thing.
Yeah. Brian, go ahead.
Were you conflicted on this one? Because these have both historically been guys. Your guys. Yeah. Yeah.
But very different trajectories in their careers at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I don't think I'm moving T for this. I would be a little bit more inclined if it was a 25 first. But I still don't know that I would do it, especially not knowing where he is going to be, right? Like, he's not going to be in Cincinnati, likely, right? So what if he ends up in KC or in San Diego? It's not San Diego, LA.
Love that we just did that. Or we do that again.
Yeah. Or what does, you know, I mean, so his situation is likely to improve, I think. I mean, going and being
the number
one guy.
He could get worse in theory. He could go to the Patriots or something. But
shut up, Rocky.
Could. It could, in theory. Hopefully he doesn't do that to himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would rather hang on to him and see where he lands, and then reassess, you know. Obviously there's a chance that that means he loses a little bit of value, but there's also a chance that he could gain quite a bit of value, by landing somewhere where the prospects look a little bit better for him.
That's one of the things that hurt also. The reason I did the outhouse challenge in these leagues is because I hate where they are. Like, I hate both of these teams. And that usually means I'm going to push a little bit towards the rebuilding side. So getting the extra pick and another young wide receiver when it comes to the first trade, I wasn't sad about it. This one, getting the 26 first, I wasn't sad. But, like, I'm with Brian in that I think there's a very good chance that Higgins can lead to maybe, even if it's not of much of an increase, but like his tradability would go up pretty easily, especially if he were to go to KC, you know, in a crazy situation like that, which won't happen, but just to put it out there. So I was sad it happened. I do not think it's 72 to 28 at all. But this came through and I already started cursing Rocky's name. So in TA9, we have a dude named Dave who was the same, just unhappy with his team or just sort of bored, I guess. And so he doesn't have Twitter, so he couldn't do, an outhouse style challenge. So he said, send me an offer that is not lopsided player wise in using DynastyTradeCalculator.com that is in my favor, and I'll accept it. Okay. So the first one that went through was Xavier Leggett and a 25 first for Dalton Kincaid and a 25 fourth. So how do you guys feel about Leggett and a first for Dalton Kincaid?
Ryan?
Yeah, I'll take the first.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
The upside wide receiver, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kincaid guy. I've never really been a big Kincaid guy. So give me the first and the receiver that he was drafted in the first, in the real life first, right?
He
33rd, maybe.
No, yeah.
First pick in the second?
Chiefs traded to the Bills to get Keon Coleman and then traded, and then the Panthers took Leggett, I think.
Yeah. Well, close. Anyway, but yeah, I'll take that guy and the 25 first over Kincaid. I just, like I said, I've never really been fully on board with Kincaid, and nothing's changed my mind so far.
Yeah, sames. And the funny part was this was used to get Kincaid. The guy who issued the challenge had Kincaid on his team. Someone chose to send Leggett and the first to go get Kincaid.
Wow.
Get your guy.
Yeah. If you're a Kincaid person, absolutely this feels easy because Leggett's whatever. You know, he's not doing bad for a rookie wide receiver on a bad team, but like this feels like you didn't use a first to go get him. So first and a second for, look, tight end is a mess this year, but Kincaid is still a top 5 to 7 tight end. So sending a first and a second and a 0.75 premium doesn't feel bad at all. So if you're a Kincaid person, I get it. I don't, just none of us on the show right now are Kincaid people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my trade that I did with this, and I'm not going to say which side, Dak Prescott and Derrick Henry for Anthony Richardson, Trey Benson, and a 25 third.
I personally is easily the Prescott and Henry side for me.
Yeah, it is for me too.
Yeah, don't issue challenges if you don't know what you're doing. Just saying. and the thing is, without the third there, it was pretty much even. I threw in the third just to push it over the edge, really. I got Dak Prescott and Derrick Henry.
I don't like that you got this because I'm contending in TA9.
Oh, I'm 1-3. This is a Hail Mary kind of. Henry later in the season.
Let me say this: I understand it. Like I understand Well, I guess he didn't. There wasn't anything to understand if it was a challenge.
That you this were was spending. A value. Yeah. In, yeah
I mean, I could see. Choice. Here's what I'd say. I could see where you could make an argument for the other side, right? Like if you look at Richardson and say that dude athletically is ridiculous, and if he ever puts it together, right? You know, and then Benson, if he steps in for James Conner, you know, and ends up, you know, balling out or whatever. But I think both of those things have to happen for the value, you know, for me to feel really good about that. And the likelihood of that, I mean, geez, oh man, people bust all the time. Who, you know, that was awesome to say on the internet.
Yep. We're just going to move on.
All right.
The basis of this trade was clearly Prescott and Richardson, and Richardson is worth 44 and Prescott was worth 40 in DTC. Yeah. And then I'm like, points, 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 points. Oh, he has Derrick Henry. All right. What can I do? And then I was literally crossing my fingers while typing Trey Benson's name in because Derrick Henry was I think worth 16 and Benson was worth 10. So the 4 extra points from Richardson over Dak, and I'm like, all right, third, done. And it worked out perfectly. Yeah, this is like, I love my TA9 team. It is super young and should be doing better than it is. So I'm angry about it. So I'm like, that's it. I'm going and buying some production. And that's what I just did. I loved it. This made me happy. This was like, first of all, you don't do challenges to make your team better. Let's put that out there. Regardless of what challenge it is, usually it's not to make your team better. So like the outhouse challenge very, very rarely works in my favor. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, it's fun. And like you said, I usually do it on teams I have no idea what to do with, and content.
Yeah,
because of stuff for the show. Hashtag for the
content. That content thing's real. I've used that a few times.
But like you go and you do something silly like the outhouse challenge because you're stagnant, and then all of a sudden you end up with these new players on your team and you have feelings about these players, and that leads you to do more stuff with them. Like chances are I might do something with that second, you know, that I got back with Tank Dell, like depending on how a few things roll around. Like I think I'm 2-2 in that league. And if Tank Dell comes back and starts playing well, like maybe I do push, like, again, like there's, like it's action to spur action. That's to me, that's really what challenges are. And like, this was fun being able, like going like, what can I find in DTC? Like, then it's the same thing. Like, what do I like more than Twitter does that I can take advantage? Like it's fun. Like these kind of things, mm-hmm. But out there, just never do this if you have a team you like, because it won't go well for you. But that's the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. It is an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be staring at your face for the past hour and 21-ish minutes, Brian Haar. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's always a great time to come on and talk football with you guys. So hopefully we'll get to do it again sometime soon.
Hopefully before 400.
There you go.
Bringing it
Stop
back.
Talking about that. Now it's so far away. All right. But our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record. And we have our awesome Cool Kids Club on Discord, the awesome chat that's there. Everything else besides that is Fantasy Cares, fantasycares.org. We just started up. It's October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So fantasycares.org/NBCF for National Breast Cancer Foundation. We are matching up to the first $5,000 donated to that campaign. So fantasycares.org/NBCF, National Breast Cancer Foundation. We also, fantasycares.org/GG for goodness giveaway goodness, whatever we want to call it these days. Every $5 you donate gives you an entry to win a signed Najee Harris jersey, Brian Haar.
Ooh. And
Patreon.com/ChadAddictsPod. You can see the sexy
Brian. Oh, man. It's even the
black y'all. With the gold lettering. Yeah, it is. And I love what he did. Like, he signed big enough where it takes up part, like a big chunk of the two. It's not a little thing. Like, you have to, like, No. Right down the side of that two, you see Najee. Well, it's really just NH, number 22. But he wrote it nice and big on there. Like, that. It makes me happy when they think about that, like the size of the signature on the jersey. But that's our stuff. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Good night, Russ.
Night, Russ. Night, Rock.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.